Well, the New Testament portion of our daily readings in Hebrews chapter 5 brings us to consider the aspect of spiritual food. And so what I'd like to do by way of exhortation today is to look at this particular aspect, the need for spiritual food, what it is and how we can partake of it. So I'd like to begin then by turning to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, where we read of the Lord Jesus Christ being tempted in the wilderness, and in verse 3 it says, "When the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now it's interesting to compare this with the record in Deuteronomy. Look over to Deuteronomy in chapter 8. This is where the Lord Jesus Christ is quoting from. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 3, I think it is. It says there, talking about Israel in the wilderness in verse 3, He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know, now here's a quotation, that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh doth man live. And so here's the point then, that the manna, the divine provision of meat or food in the wilderness, was designed to teach that point. And it did so in particular ways that we're not going to investigate in our considerations today, because I want to speak about spiritual food, not specifically the manna. But here's a point, that we do not live by physical food only, but by the spiritual food that comes from the mouth of God. We live by out that which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if you go over to Job chapter 23, here is the importance of this aspect to Job himself. You know, whatever faults Job might have had, in Job chapter 23, we have his priorities been spoken of here. In verse 12, he says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips," that is God's lips, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And that's what we should be like. Just as we need to partake of natural food in order to live and to sustain a mortal existence, even so we need to partake of spiritual food for the new man of the spirit to grow and develop. And if we don't continually feed the new man of the spirit, he will die and we'll be left just an empty shell of flesh. So there is this importance then that we need to be nourished up in the word of the faith and good doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's what I'm quoting from. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 6. It says there, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." And so let nobody tell you that doctrine isn't important, because here it's a spiritual nourishment. And in verse 16 it says, "Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So we need to be nourished with the doctrine. And any way you can be nourished by a food is to actually partake of it and to eat it. And that's what we need to mentally do, as it were, as seeking to assimilate the principles of the word into our lives, that we might be strengthened thereby. Just like we're strengthened by physical food, we're spiritually strengthened in order to overcome the troubles and distresses that life brings. Pardon me. We go back over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is all about this particular aspect, and we're not going to spend too much time in it, but just to notice that here the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about the bread of life that he is able to provide for us. John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And so here's the principle, that we need to partake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 51, Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live for ever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We might come back to this chapter a little bit later, but here's the principle then, that we mustn't labour for the junk food of worldliness. Verse 27 of John 6. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And notice, we need to labour for the everlasting life, or rather the bread that gives everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give. You see, it's not something that can be purchased. It's something that has to be given. We cannot earn it, but we can be given it. And I think the allusion back here is to the hidden manna that was provided for the children of Israel to be a memorial that spoke of immortality, and to be given to eat of the hidden manna in the book of Revelation is to be given immortality. And so we've got this linking in of some of the ideas of the manna and so on. But if you go back over to Isaiah chapter 55, you can see there some of the words that the Lord Jesus Christ is perhaps alluding to in these things. Isaiah chapter 55, we read here in connection with this about the spiritual food that we need to seek and partake of. Verse 1, it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live." And so in very plain terms then, we have this description here of that we don't want to partake of that which isn't profitable. Buying wine and milk without money, without price. As I say, it's the junk food of worldliness. And we need to shun that. We need to escape from the natural food and the desire to attain the natural things all the time. We need to focus our attention upon the Word of God, focusing on being nourished up in the words of faith, regarding the Word of God as being more important than a natural food. And again, you go to Proverbs chapter 9. In Proverbs chapter 9, we read here in verse 5, the cry of wisdom. Verse 1, "Wisdom hath builded a house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars." And verse 3, "She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." So here's the cry of wisdom, to eat of the spiritual food that she is able to provide. Eat of my bread, and drink of my wine that I have mingled. So we see that from the importance of having spiritual food, we can now see what it is. It's the sustenance provided in the Word of God, that which comes out of the mouth of God. We can see now what we need to do to partake of it. And it might seem obvious, but it's something that's so sadly neglected in today's generation. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 15, we can see there the spirit of the prophet. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16 refers to the finding of the law in the temple in the days of Josiah by Hilkiah the high priest, and Jeremiah was his son, it would appear. And he refers back to this in verse 16. "Thy words are found, and I did eat them, and thy word is unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Yahweh, God of hosts." And so here Jeremiah speaks about actually receiving the words and eating them as one would eat food. And it was a source of joy to him. "Thy word is unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." And that's the spirit of true believers. They study the scriptures and they search out the wisdom contained therein, not as a chore, because that's what they have to do, because that's what they delight in. Psalm 1, for instance, says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So it's a delightful thing then to partake of the word. It gives us pleasure. We enjoy it and it feeds us. And just like we enjoy eating natural food and it feeds the natural man, we must enjoy eating spiritual food, and it delights the man of the spirit to do those things. And so if you go over to Psalm 119, just two other passages which illustrate this point here. Psalm 19 and verse 103, it says there, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." It's a sweet, it's like eating honey. It's nice and sweet and delightful for us. And then Psalm 19 brings some of these things together. Psalm 19 is a psalm which sometimes causes difficulties for some commentators. Psalm 19, it's sometimes said, is two psalms put together. And the reason for saying that, I don't agree with it, but the reason for saying that is that verses 1 to 6 talk about the things of creation, and then verse 7 to 14 talk about the word of God. They're two totally separate things. But it's missing the point. It's missing the point that it's actually the same theme of receiving the word of God. Psalm 19 and verse 3 says, speaking about the luminaries in the political heavens, the heavens of Israel, verse 2, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, nor language, where their voice is not heard." And that's an illustration of this in the work of the apostles. And you can go to the book of Acts and see this, that the speeches were... the confusion of speeches was reversed as the gospel went out using the gift of tongues to everybody. So there's no speech or language, their voice is not heard. Verse 4, cited in the New Testament, I think it's Romans 10, and applied to the work of the apostles and preaching forth the word. But the point is that the whole psalm is about the word of God, demonstrating creation as taught by the apostles and the way in which it comes to us. And so we read in verse 7, verse 7 of Psalm 19. "The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple." Verse 8. "The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes." And then in verse 10. "More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, sweeter than much fine gold." They're much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And that is sweeter than the honey. You see, what it's saying here is that partake of spiritual food enlightens us, but it's actually far more beneficial and enjoyable to us than eating natural food. Eating spiritual food is sweeter to us than eating natural food. And so we have the principle of Job chapter 23 that we just looked at. He treasured the word of God more than his necessary food. And so we need to do that. We need to absorb the principles of the word. And to do that implies meditating. You see, in Psalm 1 that we just read, just quoted from, the aspect there is meditating upon the word day and night, is to meditate. And that's something which we don't do today as often as we should, I believe. It has truly been said that to read without reflecting is like eating without digesting. You see the point? We need to reflect and to think about and meditate and turn over in our minds the principles of the word of God. And in order to grow and develop in the things of the truth. So then, that there is this aspect then of growing and developing in the truth. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, we read of this in verse 2. We read in verse 1 for context. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And so this is the early state of the believers after they've just become believers. They're like newborn babes desiring the pure milk of the word. The word sincere there literally means the unadulterated or the purity of the word. And so we don't desire the junk food of worldliness. We desire the nutritious element of the milk of the word. That's what we must endeavor to do. And we need to progress from that, though. We need to start off with the milk, what the apostle in Hebrews describes as being the first principles. We need to embrace the first principles, the basic elements of the gospel. And it's sometimes thought that, well, as long as you've embraced and accepted the very basic first principles of the gospel, as long as you're in first principles, then that's fine. That's all you need to be saved. But actually, it's not the case, because we need to develop in maturity as we continue on our journey to the kingdom of God. And if you go back over to Hebrews chapter 5, which is the part of the New Testament reading for the day, we find that those to whom the apostle is writing here hadn't done that. They hadn't progressed. He wanted to tell them in verse 10 and verse 11 about Melchizedek, and we really do wish he had done. But he couldn't do that, because he says in verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." So dull of hearing. "But when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use of the senses exercise to discern both good and evil." You see the point. They hadn't progressed beyond the first principles. Verse 12. They hadn't progressed beyond the first principles. They hadn't developed enough to be able to receive the solid food of the word. And so that those solid, where it says, I should just say, were it a strong meat, it's literally solid food. That's literally what the Greek signifies here, solid food. And they hadn't developed enough to be able to receive the solid food. And again, in Corinth, they had the same sort of problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." And so they were chided and chastised for not going beyond the first principles. They need to develop. They need to consider the word and transition from being simple to being wise. Again, sometimes it's said that all we need to do is have a simple faith, and simplicity is something that's sought after. But that's not scriptural. If you go to Proverbs again, Proverbs chapter 1, the main theme of the book of Proverbs is to disprove that very philosophy and demonstrate that it's necessary to progress from simplicity to wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. Here is the crying of wisdom in verse 20. In verse 22 she says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." You know, are we in that category of people who hate knowledge? And they do exist. How many times have I heard people say, well, actually what's far more important than studying the Bible is enacting it and showing its principles in our lives. And that's a half-truth. It's a half-truth because, yes, we do need to show the principles of God in our lives. Yes, we do. Nobody disputes that, despite what our adversaries may say. But the point is, it's not either or. It's not either studying it and then distinct from applying it. They're both parts of the same process. We need to study the word. We need to move our situation from loving simplicity to loving knowledge. And rather than to scorn knowledge and to speak disparagingly against those who have a sincere and deep understanding of the word of God and say, oh, well, you need to apply it as well as believe. Well, yes, you do. But the point is, you have to have it in order to apply it. Now, that's the principle that comes out. We just quoted from Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 9 even. And Proverbs chapter 9, we need to develop from simplicity to wisdom. Verse 4. Who is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled. The product of wisdom, the food of wisdom. And those who are simple must seek wisdom and understanding. It's just a principle that we need to do. And so verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So we need to have the knowledge of the holy and the fear of Yahweh going together, demonstrating those principles in our lives, of course, yes. But we can only, as I just said, you can only apply something if you know what they are to apply. Sometimes, we think of when we partake of natural food, we have a recipe book. And in the recipe book, it contains pictures of the food that we want to eat and tells us how to make it. And if we just look at the recipe book and then don't take it any further, we'll be hungry. If we do that, we will go hungry because we haven't acted upon what we read in the recipe book. And to certain regard, the scriptures are like that. It provides spiritual food for us, but it's not something that we can just read and go away and forget. In order to truly have that bread of life, we need to act on what we're reading and demonstrate it and partake richly of the benefits that it brings when we actually do the things written in it. And so John chapter 6 again, in John chapter 6, we read here of the Lord Jesus Christ in words which many couldn't receive in his day. John chapter 6 and verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in him, and I in him. And we demonstrate those principles when we come to break bread and to drink wine each Sunday. We come to do that, to memorialize the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what Jesus is talking about here is something more than that. It's not just that, it's something else as well. You know, the principle is eating the flesh and drinking the wine, the blood, is partaking and feasting upon the bread of life. That's what comes out in these words in verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We need to partake of them. We, in order to facilitate this, we have our Bible reading planner, and that takes us through three passages of scripture a day. Two from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Three passages. I don't know for sure certain, but I do wonder when Robert Roberts put it together whether he chose those three for a purpose, because we eat natural food normally. Not always, but normally we have three meals a day. Breakfast, lunch, and our evening meal or dinner or whatever you want to call it. We usually have three meals a day. And how appropriate it is, therefore, for us if we, at that time, do the reading as well. Read the relevant chapter for that day, following the reading planner. That way we're eating and drinking naturally as well as spiritually at the same time. And it's something that is important to do little and often, because the human mind cannot absorb a whole lot in one go. It's like when we partake of natural food, you can only eat so much. It's not as if you can go a couple of days without eating and then eat 10 times as much, and you just can't do that, because you get full and you get sick if you eat too much. And the mind's like that as well. We need to be able to receive the Word of God into our minds, but the way to do that isn't to binge on it. It's not to binge on the Word of God, but it's every day, little and often, three times a day. And it's a good habit to fall into, that we do it three times a day rather than just compressing it all into the end of the day when we're tired and we don't really feel up to doing much, and we just do the readings and we go to bed. It's far better to spread it out during the day, I believe, and partake of it when we're partaking of the natural food. And also prayer. We're told that we should pray. In the example of the prophets, the psalmist, that he prayed three times a day. And that's what we should endeavour to do, all at the same time, as we partake of the natural food as well. Well, there is this need then to progress. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We need to progress into an adult from being a child. Verse 20. Where is it now? Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 14. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And in the margin it says perfect, or of a ripe age. You see, this is the kind of age that we need to develop into. Our life in the kingdom, in the way to the kingdom, ought to be a life of progression. We don't stay still, otherwise we stagnate. We need to develop in our characters, so that in understanding we are of men. And so that was the purpose of the gift of tongues, as we alluded to earlier. And the point is, in verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But then he says, but if any be ignorant, let him be ignorant. In other words, if anyone chooses not to study his writings, to read them and assimilate them, if anyone wants to stay, let him be ignorant. If he wants that, if that's what he wants, fine, let him be ignorant. But for those who would hold fast to the things of the truth, well, they're the ones that will be strengthened thereby to endure the difficulties of life. So then, we'll bring our thoughts to a conclusion at that point. What we demonstrated is the necessity for spiritual food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds the mouth of God. We considered what it is. It's the Word of God itself. It's the Word that is conveyed to us, the bread of life. We've seen what we need to do to eat it. We need to meditate upon it and reflect upon it. And we've seen how we need to use it to progress us in our journey from being newborn babes to eaters of solid food. We need to progress. And then we've concluded by seeing the importance of embracing wisdom, doing what the recipe book commands us to, that we might eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, and that we ourselves might be strengthened thereby to develop in our characters, to be a complete man, as it were, ready and waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again.